Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. God is good. He's such a faithful God. We've been speaking on the Holy Spirit for a while, and I've always said, if you speak on the Holy Spirit, there's probably never a time when you can't speak on the Holy Spirit. So we've been doing a series on that, and it's been an awesome series. So we're going to continue that this morning. And if we turn into your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to go to that. But the title of my message this morning is Complete by the Holy Spirit. Being complete by the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to come to a place where we totally rely on the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 is going to be our main scripture, and it says, now we've heard this verse, we've recited this verse. This is probably one of the first verses you learn besides John 3:16. And Zechariah, when you hear the verse, you're going to say, oh man, I didn't know it was in Zechariah, because they don't ever tell you it's in Zechariah, they just give you the verse. But not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's our main verse. And we've recited that verse. We use it all the time. And we're going to bring it into context today. But 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, Paul plants, Apollo waters, but it's God that gives the increase. We have to remember, God gives the increase. We can do nothing without Him. In Him we live. We have our being. And we move and have our being in Christ. And the Holy Spirit indwells in us when you receive Christ. And so we can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Even John says, I must decrease and Christ must increase. It's all about Jesus. And you know that if you're here any length of time. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. We can't do it without Him. When Paul complained about his earthly thorns, what did the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace. It's enough. His grace is enough. When Paul, John 15:5, we know some of these scriptures. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we are complete. So this morning, I want to help us to shift our look in the right direction. We can be looking in the wrong direction. I always tell the story where you can put a ladder up against a wall and climb up, and then realize once you get to the top, you put the ladder against the wrong wall. You've climbed up to the top and saying, that's not the answer. And so we need to change our direction, because our help cometh from the Lord. Period. Our help cometh from the Lord, and He does that through the Holy Spirit. God's Word has never changed. God's Word endures from generation to generation. His message is timeless. See, we hear all these things, we read all these things, but then when we come up against a problem, we forget all these things. And so I always want to remind us that His Word is timeless. His Word is not outdated. There is no expiration date on His Word. You know, you pick up some food and it has an expiration date. Jesus does not have an expiration date. He does not go out of date. He does not go out of style. He is not obsolete. He's Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by God, by the inspiration of God. So when we read the Scriptures, it's for today. It's not outdated. It's not obsolete. And if you're struggling or striving to make something happen through your own strength or knowledge, maybe you've put the ladder up against the wrong wall. Maybe we need to put the ladder up against the wall of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to bring us to where we need to go. And so, sometimes we're striving and we're trying to look for a breakthrough in our finances, a breakthrough in our relationships. And And we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. So I want to help us get our direction back to the Holy Spirit this morning. The Lord is the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. See, the church needs to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on us. Now, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You know that. We've been teaching this for a long time. He's in us. He dwells inside of us. But we have to allow Him to activate in us. You know, sometimes we just think, well, you know, I got to wait for the Holy Spirit to show up. He's already here. He's already in you. But we need to allow Him to breathe upon us. So let's read Zechariah chapter 4. There's a vision that Zechariah gets from an angel. And I'm going to read 1 through 9. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, and the other is at the left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered, and he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord." I'm not going to say this right, but Zerubbabel, and not by might, nor by spirit, but by my power, says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and you shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying," now here comes the word again, "the hands of Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the host has sent me, the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." And so there's a vision that Zechariah gets, and he's going to give it to Zerubbabel. I'm always getting this. I've been practicing this word, you know, but man. And so he has a vision. The angel gives him a vision, and he's going to give it to him, and he's going to rebuild the temple. This is what he's called to do, to rebuild the temple. When the Jewish nation returned from exile, they had a crucial task awaiting them to rebuild the temple. And so God gives Zechariah a vision regarding this task to give to him. He's a civic leader of Jerusalem, and he has the responsibility to finish working on rebuilding the temple, which he had already started. The work that he had already started, he needed encouragement to finish this work. This wasn't an easy task, and it didn't happen overnight. It took many years. But when Solomon built the temple, he had unlimited resources from his father David. But now we come to this story. There's a lot in it, but we're just going to take a few points. But now, here he is. God has asked them that you're going to rebuild the temple. You're going to rebuild the temple. But the resources that David had given Solomon to build, you're not going to have those resources. So we ask the question, we do, how can we be useful for God despite our human limitations? We have human limitations. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, we didn't accept Jesus because our life was going to be rosy and perfect. We accepted Jesus because we know we were going to hell. But now we found a Savior who has come and give us eternal life. And then we get all the blessings of who Jesus is. But I didn't receive Christ just so I could get a better job or have more money or a better car. I found out that, man, I needed Jesus. I needed Jesus. And so that's why, you know, I received Christ. So sometimes we say, okay, Lord, we're still limited. We're still human. We're still human beings, and we are limited in some things. But He, the Holy Spirit, is complete with every resource and everything that we need. That's what I want to get across to us this morning. You are limited as a human being, but God, through His Holy Spirit, has given us every resource we need. And so He looks at this rubble, this temple that's been torn down, and He looks at it, and he must say to Himself, "You're asking me to do this." But it's not by might, it's not by power, it's through the Holy Spirit. So the first point I want us to see is, do we trust in God's promises? Do we trust His promise? Do we trust His word? See, God says to Zechariah, you tell him he's going to rebuild the temple. He doesn't have the royal army and the might and the power that the original builders have when Solomon built it. Right off the bat, he tells them, you're going to be lacking with something. But the power doesn't come from you. The resources are going to come from the Holy Spirit. See, when he says, not by might, that focuses on an army of people. And then when he says, not by power, that focuses on an individual person. See, no army was going to come and help. He didn't see it. It wasn't going to be his own power that was going to do it. But God says, not by the resources of many or by the resources of one, it's going to be by the resources of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want us to see today. When God brings you to a place and we look at it as a disaster, he looks at it as an opportunity for him to be glorified through you. We're going to work at it, but he promised that he would take care of us. It will not be our cleverness. It won't be our abilities. It was not going to be our giftings, our talents. It's not going to be our physical strength. The temple will be rebuilt by the Spirit of God. He is going to rebuild you by the Spirit of God. He's going to rebuild the things that are broken in your life by the Spirit of God. He's going to change relationships in your life by the Spirit of God. He's going to change your finances by the Spirit of God. And that's what I want us to see today, being complete in the Holy Spirit. We can be complete if he's in control. And so if we really believe the promises of the Bible, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, then our smallness, our limitations does not matter. Right? It doesn't matter. If we really believe the promise, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord of our hosts. We read these scriptures all the time. If that is true, and we believe that, then our smallness, our limitations doesn't matter. Right? Story of Gideon. It's a great story. He sees an army of 135,000, I think it's Midianites. And he's looking out, and he has 32,000. And God looks at him and goes, it's probably too many. Brings him down to 10,000. That's probably too many. Brings him down to 300. And now says God says, perfect. You can never do this by yourself. I will get the glory. So he brings down the 300 men. Our smallness or any limitations, it doesn't matter when we allow the Holy Spirit to be the power source in our life. It doesn't matter. Man, when I used to read these stories, you know, they were kind of like stories to me. But then when you really started to understand God, see, we can't look at the Bible so much as, oh, I got to try to believe the story. The real story is Jesus. Once you believe Jesus and who he is and the work that he's already done, this becomes natural. But see, the world is trying to believe the scripture. They're trying to put all this together. Because if they believe in Jesus, now they have to be accountable to someone. We don't want to be accountable to anybody. We want to be able to figure this all out ourselves with our power, with our might. And Jesus says, you can't. You can't. Only through the Holy Spirit. When we trust in our own resources, when you trust in your own giftings and talents, you miss out on the enjoyment of allowing the Holy Spirit to be your supplier. Why are some believers kind of so frustrated? I wonder sometimes, because I've been doing this for a long time. I tried to be a Christian for a long time when I was younger, and we all know my story on that. You know, I was a Christian, and then I met Jesus. I said, when I write my book, that's my title. I was a Christian, and then I finally met Jesus. Jesus changes everything in your life. Changes everything in your life. This became reality to me when Jesus became reality to me. See, we're trying to leave Jesus out of the picture. The world's trying to leave Jesus out of the picture. In fact, the world would love to have you believe in a God, as long as you don't believe in Jesus, the Son of God. The world's out there. I mean, they'll be fine. You can mention God a lot, but don't mention Jesus. Don't mention Jesus. So if we really trust God, and He is the supplier of our source. See, when we try to do it on our own, we miss who God really is. And we miss the breath of the Lord speaking to us. That same breath worked in creation. That same breath opened the Red Sea and closed it. That same breath gave life to dead bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. Max, bring Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 5 up. I want to read this because this is like, what a vision. And he's talking about Israel coming into their own. But this, the breath of God, Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in what? In the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. The breath of God. I love reading that. I love reading that because when I hear that, it's the Spirit of God that came upon. It's the breath of God. It's the Spirit of God that created this world. It's the Spirit of God that will call dry things in your life. When you prophesy over those dry things, those things that are dead, that you call dead and the world calls dead, but Jesus said, you haven't spoken to it through my word. It'll come alive. It'll come alive. Hallelujah. And when we read verse 7, it says, woe art thou, O great mountain. Who are you, O great mountain? What are you going to do? And I like this. Because the outcome is already guaranteed. Think about it. If God said, I'm going to do this by the Spirit of God, then the outcome is already guaranteed. See, we don't live with an outcome guaranteed in our mind. We're always living and hoping it's going to happen. We're going to click our heels together and something magical is going to happen. No, if God said it, it is a guarantee that it's going to happen. But I want to encourage us, church, we need to live like that. Guaranteed. If Jesus said it, because the outcome is guaranteed, any mountain, any opposition will be leveled by God. See, when you believe that and you can see that, then you're going to move and do what God's called you to do. Luke 14:11 says, for whomever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God is going to level things, folks. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Any obstacle, opposition that comes at you when God has called you to do something, when he's called this church to do something, there's nothing that's going to stop Calvary Gospel. Not because of who we are, but because of the Spirit of God in us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, these things were all taught to me as a young boy. You know, I'm reading scriptures all the time. But none of this came alive until I met Jesus. You know, if you've been here, we preach, it's Jesus plus nothing equals Jesus. Jesus plus something else is not going to equal Jesus. So when we read these scriptures or more, they mean something to me now. If God be for me, who can be against me? Why? Because he's guaranteed the outcome. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, because he's guaranteed the outcome. Satan has already been defeated. We are already victorious. We sang the song. So our attitude should be, if God's asked us to do something, there is a guaranteed outcome that God is going to do it. I don't have to worry about it. Do we trust the Word of God? Do we trust His promises? Second thing, when we read this, number two, do we rely continually on God, on the Holy Spirit? Oh, that's a tough one. Continually. That means every day, Pastor Tom. I got to wake up every day, and even during my day, when things aren't going well, continually rely on the Holy Spirit? Yes, you have to continually rely on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the one that guarantees the outcome. So we continually rely on him. He is our divine co-worker. See, we don't see Jesus as our co-worker. We don't see him as our partner, our co-laborer. Why? Because the world has made God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they don't even want to talk about that, but they've made it so out there that you would never think that you're going to co-labor with God, because God is God. He doesn't need you, but that's why he created you, because he loves you. He wants a relationship with you, so we do partner. And so when we learn these things, it helps us understand the foundational principles of who you are in Jesus. If you think that you're going to accept Jesus and then never have a chance to speak to God, well, then you didn't receive Jesus. And so God wants to help us understand that there's a relationship going on. We're co-partnering with him. And then Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house. We've heard these verses. We've read them time and time again. The builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about the Holy Spirit working inside of us. And so we have been told many times, even in the church, you know, growing up in the church, sometimes some of the stuff we were taught wasn't correct, you know. And so we need to know that there is a great relationship that God wants to have with you and I. A great relationship. That's all he wants is a relationship. That's how he took Israel out of Egypt. He just wants a relationship. And so we get to experience who God really is in Jesus through the Holy Spirit because he wants that for us. So allow him to build in your life. Allow him to work in your life. Allow that relationship. Don't let the enemy tell you, well, you made a mistake today. You sinned today. You fell today. You missed the mark today. Well, that's okay. Guess what? It's not my righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's not my holiness. It's Jesus' holiness. It's not that I'm a saint because I'm good. It's Jesus who went to the cross. I want to encourage you, church. You never give up because God has never given up on you. You are always his son and daughter when you know Christ. And so, unless he builds a house. So in the scripture, we read it, just as the olive trees in the vision continually to supply the oil to the lamps. There's so much in here. There's so much. You could speak on every verse, but I just want to try to bring this to the point where we understand and can help us a little bit here, that there was always a supply of oil. Why? Because the Holy Spirit always supplies. It's the Holy Spirit always supplies. He's supplying the oil. Holy Spirit will continue to supply for us. Hey, if Jesus was born by the Spirit, he was baptized of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, he proclaimed the kingdom of God in power by the Spirit, shouldn't we walk in the Spirit? Right? We read this stuff. This stuff is real. But see, we never want to assimilate ourselves as like Jesus. Yes, as like Jesus. Because if you don't assimilate yourself as like Jesus, then what do you have? Because he lives inside of you. And so if he was born by the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit and led by the Spirit and proclaimed the kingdom of God in the power of the Spirit, so shall we continue in the Spirit, continue in the Holy Spirit. See, to prevent spiritual burnout, you know, because a lot of believers, they kind of get burned out. Why? Because they lose focus. If they lose focus. When you depend continually on the Holy Spirit, then you will burn for God without burning out. Think about it. If I'm only living for Jesus, and I'm not living for myself, and I don't have the cares of the world, and the worries of the world, and the fear of the world, and as all I'm doing is living for Jesus, how could you get burned out with Jesus? I want you to think about that. Could you ever think about you're laying in bed sometime going, Jesus, I'm just burned out from you. Too much of you, Jesus, I'm burnt out. We would never say that because it wouldn't happen. But when our focus gets off Jesus, then you come into my office and you say, I am spiritually burnt out. I don't know. I can't do this anymore. I can't serve. I don't have the feeling to worship when I come in on Sunday morning. Well, first of all, worship's not a feeling. Worship is Jesus, right? But see how the world, because the world has burnout, the world always wants to apply the world and its standards to the church. And you can't. The church is not the world. We live by the Spirit of God. I mean, the Bible's clear on that, walking in the Spirit. So I want to help us today. I want to encourage us today. If you feel like, Pastor, I'm just having spiritual burnout, you don't even have to come and see me. You can just check your spirit and say, I got too many things that Jesus plus all these things, that's why I have spiritual burnout. It's not because Jesus spiritually burnt me out. I've been in church all my life, and I've said those things. That's why I can say the things that I say here to you, because I did those things. I lived those things. I'm done. I'm done with church. Too many people offended me. I'm done with church. The pastor wouldn't let me do this. I'm done with church. You know, I'm not going to, you know, do this no more. No one, you know, no, they didn't say hi to me when I walked in the building. You know, I've been through it. I've had to struggle through that. The music changed. The lights are darker. The paint on the walls changed. The colors changed. And I've gone through it. And I got spiritually burnt out because my mind wasn't stayed on Jesus and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me. It's all about Him. If you continually to rely on the Holy Spirit, you will not have spiritual burnout. You will be coming to my office, banging on the door, Pastor Tom, what else can I do? I'm not doing enough. I said, you're not doing enough. You're involved with five ministries, but it's not enough. That's because you're continually relying on the Holy Spirit. He just keeps on giving and giving and giving. So I want to help us as a church because God wants to do great things in this church. He always has, He always will, and He's got great plans for the future. But if we have spiritual burnout, it's because we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. Think about that. And the third thing, be complete. We are complete with the Holy Spirit. Complete. Wow, Pastor Tom, you said that we're actually complete in the Holy Spirit. You're complete in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, when we read this scripture, the hands that started it, He will finish it. The hands that started it will finish it. It will be complete. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why will it be complete? Because the Holy Spirit is going to help us finish what we have started. And you have started it because God's called you to start it. This isn't something that you just had a whim and had an idea that you're going to do something. When God calls us to do it, He will help us complete it. See, we live in a world that we like to complete a lot of things. We want to connect the dots of everything. We want it to be perfect. It can be if you're continually relying on the Holy Spirit. It can be. The capstone it talks about. The capstone, I think it's in verse 7. And He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace and grace. The capstone, it's the top stone. It signifies the completion. Who's our capstone? Jesus. Jesus is our capstone, the Bible says. He who started the work will be the one to put the capstone on. He was the beginner and the finisher of the earthly temple, Zerubbabel. He was the starter and finisher of the earthly temple. He's a type of Christ who is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and He's the beginning and the end. What He begins, He can and will finish. Jesus will finish. It was Jesus who cried out, "It is finished." He laid the eternal foundation on the cross. The work started before creation. Think about it. The scripture says, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb has been slain. Hallelujah. When did creation start? When did He create this? When did He create this? Before the foundations of the world, it began. Hallelujah. When Christ returns, He will place the capstone on His eternal living temple, you and I. He's going to place it upon us. When He comes back, He's going to say, here's the capstone. I've come back for my bride. I've come back for my church. That's you and I. He's coming back. He's coming back. And I like it. It says, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Anything not done by the grace of the Spirit is wood, hay, and stubble. And we know what the Bible talks about that. It's going to be burned up. Anything that's not grace, anything that's not grace will be burned up. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That must be our anthem and our cry. It was grace that brought me here, and it was grace that's going to finish the work. I'll tell you, you know, I've been talking to a few people this week, and I tell you, the word grace, we've taught on that for a long time here, and the word grace is such under attack. I spoke to this on Wednesday night prayer. I actually spoke to my mom this week about it and some other people, because the Lord really spoke to me about this. You know, the world is attacking everything in a church or in our relationship with Christ and everything. The world's under a great attack. But you know where some of the attack comes from? The church. When you start teaching on grace, it's the church that says, don't teach too much on it. It's getting awful quiet. You think about it. It's the church. You know, and when you talk about grace, grace is a person in Jesus Christ. John 1 says he's the fullness of grace and truth. Now, Paul goes through half of Romans about grace does not give us a license to sin. We all know that. It's grace. It's the only word by which we can receive salvation. I want you to think about that. It's the only word. It's the only person, Jesus Christ, that we can receive salvation. There is no other way. Ephesians 2:8, I think it says, by grace you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But why is that one word such under attack? Because the enemy does not want you to know it's not by works. Because he wants you to work at this. Because once you work at trying to get saved, and once you work at trying to be saved, you're going to be working at this forever. But by the grace. And so when we read the scripture, he says, when it is finished, I love it, when it is finished, you will shout. Because it was only through God, it was only through the Holy Spirit that this could happen. And that's what Jesus wants to get through to the church. The church, I'm talking about the church, the universal church. The church is all over the world. Unless we see that it's by grace through the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss it. Well, we're only 200 people or 150 people. Smallness and limitation does not matter. But when we look at where we are and who we have, I mean, you look through the scriptures. You're talking about God in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. He takes the small things. He takes the things that no one wants. Read it in 1 Corinthians 1, 27. He takes the lowly things. He takes the weak things. He says, that's why we're here. Because God will be glorified. And we are going to shout as a church, grace, grace, grace. Because grace is Jesus. That's why the temple could be built through the Holy Spirit, trusting in His promises, continually to the rely on the Holy Spirit, and it becomes complete. Why? Grace, grace, grace. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the only way Calvary has existed for all these years. What is it, 63 years? Or started in the 60s? Do you think it was because of you and I? God said, these doors are going to be open. And these doors are going to stay open. And so He brought all the men and women of God. He brought you here. The Bible says He places you in the body where He sees fit. You, if you're here, God's placed you here, you belong here. And so we do this together because Jesus has placed it. If I build the church, Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail. We're building a church with Jesus. We're co-laboring. We're co-partnering with Jesus. It can't happen by yourself. You're not coming here because I'm a great speaker. You're probably coming here because we have great worship, which we do. You're coming here because Jesus has called you here, and he says, if I've called you here, then by grace, 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 I will supply every resource for this church to move and do what it's I've called it to do. That's why VBS has over 100 kids. That's why youth has events of over 200 kids. That's why Sprout has started and all these young kids are coming. That's why Kids Connect, they've got 30 or 40 kids down there. Why? We do have great leaders. I love our leaders. You know I brag about this church and I brag about everyone in this church and our leaders. But they're only doing it because of grace, grace, grace. Got to catch this. Because God has great things for Calvary Gospel. And when you leave here and God starts speaking to you, you need to remember, wait a minute, I'm going to trust the promise. I'm going to continually to move in the Holy Spirit, allow him to speak to me. Why? Because I then will be complete. Calvary Gospel will be complete. We're going to end with this. Could I have the worship team come up? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to do this together. You know my motto. We're doing this together. We're doing this together. We're going to move together. We're going to do what God's called us to do. Do you know what song you're going to do? Set Free? No? Crown? No? Yeah? Okay. Hey, we're going to give you 2 points, and we're going to just worship and close. By His Spirit, it means God is able to restore anything back. Anything. What needs to be restored in your life? What's broken in your life? What has been gone in your life? What has been damaged in your life? What is dead in your life? Hey, if Jesus can resurrect a bodily person, and Jesus through the Holy Spirit is resurrected, he can take any one of your problems and bring life to it and breathe into dry bones. So, Holy Spirit, able to restore anything back. If you feel that things have fallen apart in your life, life is a mess, believe this, God can rebuild your life back. He can mend the broken life. If you feel things have fallen apart and your life is a mess, he can bring healing. He can bring deliverance. He can bring freedom. Hallelujah. He brings salvation. No life is beyond repair. I don't care who's sitting here. Because I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. That's okay. But Jesus knows what you've done. And he still loves you. And I love you. I want you to catch this. There's no life that can't be rebuilt. No life that can't be rebuilt. Or else Jesus would have only came for the good. And we know he didn't come for the good because none of us were good. No life is beyond repair, but you need to turn back and you need to put your trust in Jesus. You have to. Doesn't work unless you're going to trust him. And 2, the last thing, God's work, I want you to catch this. Man, when I read this, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. God's work is the focus of his delight. He delights in this. He's not up there going, oh, Ben's a youth leader now, and oh Lord, man, I must have had bad pizza or something. And no, he looks at Ben, he looks at Oleg, he looks at Leah, he looks at Kirill, he looks at Olga, our kids ministry, he looks at Tanya, he looks at our prayer intercessors, the woman intercessors, he looks at Anna cleaning the church every week for how many years, and he says, the board, the elders, every one of you, even if you're not involved with ministry, he's working on your life, and he's saying, I delight in you. The world will never tell you that. Never. Never. Don't despise what God is pleased with. It may look like rubble and a disaster to you, but you never despise what God calls good. Your life is good. If you know Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, your life can be very good by receiving him. He doesn't despise you, even if you don't know him. He's still coming after you. He's still there. He's still there. God's work is what? Think about it. Really, God's work is what? For the lost. And that's what he's asked us to do as a church. Go after the lost. Go after the dying. Go after the addicted. Go after the abused. Go after the hurting. Why? Because God's work is the focus of his delight. He's happy. He's happy. Yes, God is happy. Yes, God actually smiles. Yes, God actually laughs. Yes, Jesus actually cried. Come on, church. He's not some being out there that has no, you know, doesn't understand. We know the scripture says he does. So I'm going to leave you with that. God is going to make it great. If he's called you to do it, if he's called you to do it, he is delight. He is overwhelmed, overjoyed, overhappy, and he says, wow, I get to delight in Calvary Gospel. I've called them to do a certain thing, and they're doing what I've called them to do, and other things that he's going to call us to do. I want you to know, because the world's never going to tell you, Jesus is happy with you. Even if you're struggling, Jesus delights in him being glorified. That's it. Praise God. I want you to catch this. Complete in the Holy Spirit. You are complete by the Spirit. Let's stand and just worship God in this song. We'll close in prayer. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so good. He is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Let's just worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You do wear the crown, Lord. It is finished when you said it was. Lord, you've done it all. The work is done. Hallelujah. We just need to receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just say thank you, Father. God, we live and move and have our being in you and only you. Hallelujah. I want to just pray, and we're going to close. I'm going to just pray for a friend that called me this yesterday. His dad is not doing well. Actually, I just did a funeral for his mom a couple weeks ago. So we're just going to pray. His name is Bill. And so we're going to close, and we'll just say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, you hear our heart's cry. God, in the name of Jesus, we command healing in Bill right now in the name of Jesus. We command depression to go in the name of Jesus. We command freedom in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed. And we stand on your promise right now. Right now, we stand on your promise. And we're going to pray for everyone else in the body of Christ that you have sickness in your body. We command right now. We command right now in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, we are. If you have a sickness or something going on in your body, just put your own hand on it. And right now, we command it to leave in Jesus' name. We command backs to be straightened, hearts to be clear, blood vessels to be clear, blood work to be clear, migraines to go in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, shoulders. Right now, pain to leave in the name of Jesus. Knees, arthritis has to bow. Sickness has to bow in the name of Jesus. And so we say, Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. We stand on your promise. And we command sickness to leave our bodies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we walk it out in faith, knowing that you went to the cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just hold out for a second here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Pray for emotional healing. As hearing this word, right as we spoke it, as hearing this word, emotional healing for relationships right now. Forgiveness would take place. Offenses would go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stand on your word, God, your promises. Hallelujah. 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 Touch eyesight right now in the name of Jesus. We come against cancer in the name of Jesus. We command it to go now. It is not from you, God. It has to leave. It has to bow and it has to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now. Let's just thank him as we close. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. We worship you, God. You're our healer, our deliverer. Come on, church. Come on. Hallelujah. You're awesome. You're awesome. You are awesome, God. We can't do it without you, but with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because he's our conqueror. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Come downstairs and fellowship. If you have a chance, good to see everybody.